and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio program of Providence Reformed Church of Vermilion, South Dakota. This morning, again, we pick up on the Heidelberg Catechism. After having looked at 10 and 11 the past Sundays, dealing with that God is merciful, but He's also likewise just, and that God will punish men who are impenitent with everlasting punishment, both of body and soul, we move on to number 12, and dealing with man's redemption. And the Catechism reads as follows: Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, how may we escape this punishment and be again received into favor? The answer is given: God wills that His justice be satisfied. Therefore, we must make full satisfaction to that justice either by ourselves or by another. Now, notice the heading there of this portion of the Catechism. As you guys know, that the Catechism is based upon the book of Romans, and it's broken up into three sections. And the three sections, you can alliterate them by guilt, grace, and gratitude. We've dealt with the guilt through question 11, and now we come to the grace of God dealing with man's redemption is the second part of the Catechism. Third part will be the gratitude, and we also find the Ten Commandments in that portion. And so we demonstrate our gratitude to God by being obedient to His Word. But I wanted to make this point with the grace of God here in the second portion of the Catechism. When grace comes to your heart, notice that your confession will be, you deserve temporal and eternal punishment. This is what the question. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. You see, what happens is with the Apostle Paul, the law of God comes alive. And when the law of God comes alive in your soul by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, what do you recognize?
Well, as Paul said, he's a chief of the sinners. You recognize what a wretched man you are.
And you recognize you don't have any hope of standing before God. I mean, when your eyes are open to the truth of your sin and how you have offended a holy God, and you recognize that you haven't kept one iota of the commandments of God, that the commandments demand perfection in all of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our deeds. And you know where I failed that? When I was born, because I had the inborn, and then the actual sin came out continually. And even as a believer, I have not kept the commandments of God perfectly. As a believer, I'm not standing upon my righteousness before God. As a believer, I'm one who's trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my behalf, period. I have no other hope. Because even as a believer, sin still clings to even the best works of the saints. And therefore, I don't find my salvation in what I do, but in what Christ has done for me. But I recognize, in and of myself, I'm deserving of temporal and eternal punishment. But notice with the grace of God, when the grace of God comes, when hard things come upon you, it's not a punishment from God. Notice when the Catechism and when the Bible speaks about punishment, it's in a penal sense, in a penal code. It's in response to a violation of the commandments.
Now, that has been dealt with for us, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Christ has dealt with that once for all time, never to be repeated again. And God doesn't, there's no double jeopardy here. God doesn't punish us again for something that's already been punished in Jesus Christ. Now there is an aspect that takes place of discipline. You see, we've moved out of the realm of punishment as an unbeliever receives the punishment of God. We've moved into the realm as sonship, adopted as children of God. Now we are being chastened when we violate the commandments of God. Now we are a child in the home. I'm not punished for my actions. I'm disciplined. And with that discipline, there is instruction. To be punished would be to be cast to hell. To be punished would be to suffer, as the Catechism says here, the righteous judgment of God. We deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Well, that righteous judgment has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. So the punishment aspect has passed. Now we receive the discipline. But how can you escape it? How can you escape the judgment of God? How can you be received again into favor? When it says again into favor, what is it referring to there?
Be seen without sin.
And again received into favor, it must be then referring back to Adam.
Before the fall.
Before the fall, when he walked with God in the cool of the garden. When at that time that he loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And for a time, I don't know how long of a time it was, but there was for a time, he loved God with all of his being. And so we need to be restored again to that favor. We need to be reconciled to God. Who's the reconciler?
Jesus Christ.
And God comes to us. He's the offended party. And he reconciles us unto himself. He doesn't need to be reconciled. We need to be reconciled to him. But he's the one who does it. Isn't that amazing? And so what does that teach us? You think about that principle there about when your brother sins against you.
You're the one that's supposed to go to him.
You go to him, right? And if your brother has sinned a sin that you know, that you go to him. Or if you've sinned against your brother, you go to him. Be the reconciling party. You know, I mean, come to that individual and have that reconciliation. So this is what God does, and he restores them to favor. How does he do this? God wills that his justice be satisfied. That's God's will. His will is that his justice is going to be satisfied. The Catechism says, therefore, we must make full satisfaction of that justice, either by ourselves or by another. Now, how can you make full satisfaction? What is the Catechism referring to here about making full satisfaction to the justice of God? Can you?
No, I cannot. I would have to be punished eternally. I would never be done.
But there is an aspect that you could be.
I could be punished eternally, yes. Well, is that what you're referring to? Apart from Jesus, I would be.
Yeah, I just want to make the clarification.
Okay.
This is the hypothetical. It's a heretical hypothetical, actually. But it's a hypothetical. It's a condition contrary to the fact. Because the fact is, you're a believer.
Correct.
You're one who... So, no. You cannot be punished in hell. Christ was punished in hell in your place. But just follow my hypothetical. Because the Catechism says, we must make full satisfaction. As a sinner, you can't do it. You can't fulfill the law of God. You have no desire to fulfill the law of God. Look at Romans chapter 8. That's what the Apostle Paul writes regarding the sinner and the law of God. Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So he cannot submit himself to the law of God. He hates the law of God. And so it's referring to that satisfaction being paid in hell. That's what it's saying there. We must make satisfaction. It's got to be, your sins have to be dealt with one way or another. By you being cast into hell for all eternity or in another. and the other is Jesus Christ. Now, the catechism will go on here in number 13, and it asks that question, can we ourselves make this satisfaction? Certainly not. On the contrary, we daily increase our guilt. So that leads me to believe the satisfaction to the justice of God that it's referring to is you fulfilling the law of God. Not simply being cast into hell for all eternity and God meting out his wrath upon you, but you fulfilling the righteous requirements of the law. You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. That's what the catechism is getting at. You can't do it. So throw away your works. You cannot satisfy the justice of God by what you do, period. And that's what it's getting at. You cannot make satisfaction. Do you know how many people are deceived today who think that they are walking uprightly and fulfilling the law of God? That they don't sin? You and I, some years ago, we met a man who thought that he didn't sin. And the very statement of I don't sin is sin. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 these words. Let's get to it real quick here. 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God has said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as the Catechism says, even the best works of the saints are still defiled with sin in this life. This guy is under a delusion. He thinks he doesn't sin. He sins in his thoughts and his words. And if you don't think you sin, who do you rely upon about your standing before God?
Yourself. You're trying to put it on yourself.
And so what do? You have your little ledger there, don't you?
Checklist.
Yep.
Check them out.
Your checks and balances. Okay, I've done this, I've done this, I've done... And who did that in the New Testament? Who do we see doing that in the Gospels?
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees. That was their life, huh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't God love me? And what you find is the Pharisee, the tax collector... And here comes the Pharisee. He marches right into the temple, comes up, lifts his eyes to heaven. You can just see him, throwing up his arms and saying, God, I thank you, I'm not like other men. I'm better than they are. You know, I give, I tithe, I do this, I pray, I fast. Look at me. I mean, you must be proud to have me. I mean, that's basically what he's saying, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't God love me? And here's the tax collector. Standing afar off, doesn't even lift his eyes to heaven, and it uses the present tense when it speaks of him beating upon his breast. It's a continual action. He comes in beating upon it, which is a sign of humility in this man. Beating upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. Not a sinner. The Greek text uses the definite article, the sinner. He saw himself as the chief of all sinners. And the merciful there is, the Greek term hilasterion means provide a propitiation for me. God, atone for my sins, I cannot. That's what he's crying out. That's the cry that we need. That's the cry that every man needs, that the justice of God may be satisfied in Jesus Christ and not in us. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 8:30 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for he truly is the only hope of the nations.